It's good to be able to come together this morning to be able to worship God together on this fine day, and we're glad that you have come. I'm glad that we can worship God as His children. In the book of Psalms in chapter 37, Psalms chapter 37, and beginning at verse 5, King David wrote this passage, and he says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust Him also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." One of the great problems that many people have in their lives concerning the Lord is we want to be saved, but we really don't want to totally commit ourselves to the Lord's work. And those things have to go together if we're going to be faithful to God. We have to make a determination that our life is going to be, first of all, belonging to Him, and everything else comes after that. And that's hard for us to do because we're finite human beings, and sometimes we don't think of spiritual things in our lives. But we have to understand our faith in Him must be strong at all times, whether it's good times or bad times, and we're all going to have some of those things one time or another. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer there says in verse 16, he says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." God and Christ recognize that we're going to have problems, we're going to have difficulties, troubles, terrible things sometimes happen in life. But we can always lean upon Him. And if we'll come to His throne in a bold manner, and realizing that that's what God wants us to do, not in being built up in our own false pride. In other words, we are to come to Him in humility, and yet to realize the power of God to help us in our times of need. Over in chapter 11 of Hebrews, chapter 11, in verse 3, it says there, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." In other words, God is always there. The things in this life that we can see, we know that they're a part of God's creation, but there is as much of God's creation that we cannot see, or even more so than we can see here on this earth. And so we have to be willing to commit our lives to the Lord, and as David says here in Psalms chapter 37. And since that is true, we must commit our ways every day we live. Well, why do we have to do that? Well, it's in order to be pleasing to God. Turn back to Psalms 37 and verse 1. Psalms 37 verse 1. He says there, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." Now think about that for a moment. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers." Sometimes we do that because they say or do things against us. Sometimes we may even be persecuted for the sake of God and for Christ and His will. But we have to understand, if we are faithful, we cannot allow others what they think or what they say or what they're going to do to us to keep us from serving God. Because they're always going to be around. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." And we look around the world today, and one of the things that sometimes comes to mind is if God is gracious and merciful, why do people who do so much evil sometimes prosper so much in life? And you know, I just barely get by sometimes, and I'm trying to be faithful to God. Well, God never promised that it's going to be easy. He never promised He's going to give us everything we want. But He expects us to be faithful, and He'll see us through it. There are always going to be people around us that are going to go astray and try to lead us in the same way. We turn over to the book of James for a moment. In James chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, "But if If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. If we have envy about people around us who are totally away from God and yet are seeming to be prospering so much in life, he says, don't have that kind of envy, self-seeking in your hearts. Do not boast and lie against the truth. He says, this wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly, sensual, and demonic. In other words, if we allow the world to determine how we serve God, it doesn't come from God. He says it's from earthly and sensual and demonic. But on the other side, verse 16, he says, for where envy and self-seeking exist are confusion and every evil thing. That's what comes from following against the will of God and turning to the way of the world and letting the world influence our service to God. And that's why David was warning there, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And so we look at that, and how then do we avoid that kind of upset, that kind of difficulty, that kind of anxiety that it causes in our life? Well, over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon there says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He talked about his whole life and all the things he had done, both good and bad. And he's looking back on his life at the end. And Solomon says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, the conclusion of the whole matter is fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So in other words, do not allow ourselves to be influenced by everything around us to the point that we turn away from God. He says then that we are to trust the Lord and do good to all. Psalm 37, verse 2. He says, for they shall soon be cut down. This is the evil ones in the first verse he's talking about. He says, for they shall soon be cut down like grass, and wither is the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. So he says, trust in the Lord. Don't let all of the problems and troubles of the world take us away from God. And I know we're tempted to do that sometimes. Things don't go our way, or difficulties come, problems and troubles. We become so concerned about that, it takes us away from the will of God. But he says there, when that happens, he says, those who are trying to lead us in that way, they will be cut off. They will not have an influence in our life anymore. So the alternative to that, he says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. That's about as simple as it gets right there. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Now, David was writing to the people of Israel at the time, and God promised them that land all the way back in the time of Abraham. So he says, you dwell in the land that God has given to you and feed on his faithfulness. And if you do that, God will always be with you. And the principle applies to us also. There is a faith and a trust that we have to have. We have to have trust. And faith and trust are kind of associated, of course. Faith means that we have faith in God, that he will do for us what he promises to do, that he's already done for us what he has promised. When, for example, when we believe and obey the gospel of Christ, we're baptized into Christ, it says we're raised to walk in newness of life. When we've done that, we trust God that he has taken away our sins. Colossians chapter 3 tells us that we're buried with him in baptism, and we're raised through the working of God. God works on us when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the principle is the same. So we have to have confidence in God, who he is and what he is, in Christ and who he is for you and me, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our High Priest, our Advocate, all of those things. He is all those things for you and me. We have to have trust in him and continue in that. So we have to have a confidence in God the Father, in Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us that the Spirit helps our infirmity. Even when we don't even know what to pray for, the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we have to have that kind of faith, knowing that even in the difficult times of life, that God is going to be with us. Now we look over for a moment in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Solomon, the son of David, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." In other words, don't just do it a little bit. He says, do it all the way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Sometimes we begin to think, well, I'm so wise and understanding, I don't have to lean on anybody. God doesn't say that. He says, lean not upon your own understanding. We have to lean on His understanding and His wisdom. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So that's, again, that's not hard to understand. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. In other words, trust Him. And He says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. By our life, by our actions, by our words, and everything that we do. He says, if you do that, He will direct your paths. God has promised. If we place our faith and our trust in Him, He's going to be with us all the way through. That is His promise to us as His children. Look now, Psalm 37, verse 4. After saying, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Verse 4, He says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. I'll go back just a moment to Psalms chapter 1. And we'll, Psalms chapter 1, the very beginning of the book of Psalms. And the very first thing that David says there in Psalms chapter 1, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the path of the sinners, nor stands in the or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So that's what God wants of us. So He says in chapter 37, verse 4, delight yourselves also in the Lord. It's not just that we believe there's a God out there somewhere, but we delight in who He is and what He is. And Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed is man that delights in the law of God. He's like the tree planted by the water. And out in the desert, if it's not near the water, it's going to die eventually. But if it's planted by the water, it has that sustenance throughout its life. And spiritually speaking, same is true for us. And He says, He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, He's talking in the spiritual realm there. Yes, He's promised to give to us the things that we need in life. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, when we put our faith in God, He will bless us for doing so. And so here, He says there in chapter 3, 37, verse 4, delight yourselves also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now turn back to John chapter 10. And Jesus said there, I have come, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us life, physically and spiritually. The best life possible in this life in which we see now, but even more so for the life that is to come for all of eternity. Jesus came to do that for you and me. That's why, for example, in Philippians chapter 4, Paul, in talking about the persecution that's going on, and the church at Philippi and all the problems and troubles they were given from the outside because of their dedication to God. And he says in Philippians chapter 4, in spite of all the persecution and everything, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoicing does not mean that everything's always going right for us, and we're always on some spiritual high position, and everything will be right. No, he says rejoice always, whether in persecution, in the depths of difficulty and problem and trouble. He says rejoice. Because that rejoicing is not dependent upon what's going on in our life. What depends upon is our relationship to God despite everything that's going on around us. And that was Paul's message to the church in Philippi, to be faithful in spite of all these difficulties, and God will be with you. I'll turn back then to Psalm 37 and verse 5. After verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. He says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know, that's exactly the idea that God gives to us throughout the Word of God, throughout the Bible. He wants us to place our faith, our trust in Him. To not just say, yes, I believe it, but I am committing my mind, my heart, my life to God. He says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. So sometimes it is a trust. We can't always see what's going to be in the future or know and understand how God's going to get us through the problems and troubles that we have. But He's not going to abandon us when we commit our way to Him and trust in Him. He says, and He shall bring it to pass. And so God has that power. And you have to understand, if God can't take care of us, nobody can. We certainly can't. Yes, He's given us certain ability to live and to have a certain amount of health and do the things that we have to do in life. And we need to thank Him for that and be always thankful. But to realize without God, no matter how much we can do, no matter how much wisdom and strength and ability we have, ultimately we're going to lose out in life because God is the one that brings us through it. It says, He shall bring it to pass. In Psalms 23, go over to Psalms 23 for a moment. And you might think, well, that's not exactly on the same subject, but really, in fact, it is. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So David says, I'm putting my faith in the great shepherd, not in myself. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God does all those things for you and me. And sometimes in the physical realm, sometimes in the spirit, and often in the spiritual realm. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now think of King David. He walked in the valley of the shadow of death for a good part of his life. There was always enemies trying to put him to death. Even his own son rebelled against him and tried to have him put to death. And then he says then, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David said, I know, in spite of all that's going on around me, that God is with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. David understood the source of all of his blessing, even in the worst of times. And you can read about them, especially in the book of Psalms, where David wrote about them. Then verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the idea of Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers. because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Now notice, he's going to be with us through all of these things. We have to be still and wait patiently for him. Patience does not mean we just sit down and wait for something to happen. We have to be faithful. And also the idea of patience means to endure the difficulties and problems of life that are set before us. And we have to be patient and wait for the time for God to fulfill his plan for you and me. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Peter there speaking to us, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If we place our faith and our trust in God, he's going to be there for us. Now, maybe not always in the way that we think he ought to be, or on the time schedule that we set for ourselves, but he's going to be there for us. And in Isaiah chapter 40, and then verse 31, Isaiah the prophet there, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. He says there, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up as wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." In other words, God will be with us all the way through the life that we live, if we'll be faithful to him. Now, Jeremiah told that message to the people of Israel. It's interesting because Jeremiah, for about 30 or 40 years before, prophesied over and over and over again, as well as many of the other prophets of his time, that if Israel does not repent and come back to God, give up idolatry and serve God exclusively, that he's going to bring a great destruction upon them. Jeremiah lived to see that fulfillment. He lived to see that destruction of Israel, and of course even the city of Jerusalem and the temple. He lived to see those things. But what did Jeremiah say to the people? He wrote the book of Lamentations after the fall of Jerusalem. And it was a horrible thing. They were taken. Thousands were killed. The rest were tied up and led off in chains into slavery in Babylon. And all of those things happened. And yet, what did Jeremiah say? He was an eyewitness of that. Verse 25 of Lamentations chapter 3, he says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." That was a message to the people who had heard his message before and wouldn't believe it. And in a sense, he's saying, see, I told you so. But he says, though the Lord is good to those who wait for him, they didn't do that, and to the soul that seeks him. But also it's a promise to those who are faithful. And there were some faithful in Israel during that time, even though they had to go into Babylonian captivity. He says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." They were going into 70 years of captivity. That means most of that generation would die before they would be allowed to come back. A second generation would be born in Babylon. Most of them probably would live to come back, and even into the third generation before they actually were allowed to come back completely to the land and retake it. And so he says, you be careful, you be faithful in spite of the persecution, in spite of captivity. He says, you be faithful to God, and he will not forget the promise he has made. We also don't want to get angry or upset. It only leads to more trouble sometimes. And Psalm 37, verse 8, he says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Now think about that. We get upset. We become angry sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with being angry occasionally. That's an emotion that God put within us, just like all of the other emotions that He gives to us. But like all of the others, we have to control it. We have to try to keep it in within ourselves and control and not lash out against others. And that's what Psalm 37, verse 8 says. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. The Apostle Paul gives a warning about that in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice what he says there. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. He says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." In other words, if you're angry, that's not a sinful thing, but don't allow it to lead you to the point of sin. In other words, he says, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." You know, get over it as best you can. And he says, if you continue in that way, you're going to give place to the devil in your heart and mind. Now skip down now to verse 30. He says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." In other words, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? By rejecting His message, by being angry, by the other things that we do or don't do in the service of God. He says, "By whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." When we believe and obey the gospel, we receive the gift and the seal of the Holy Spirit, that we belong to God, that we are His children. Romans chapter 8 tells us that. But notice verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Yes, sometimes those things are going to be there. But we have to try to put them away. It cannot be allowed to overcome our life. And here is the way we're supposed to act. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. As some translations say, God and for Christ's sake has forgiven you. In other words, God forgives us because of Christ, and we're to forgive others in the same way. I turn back to Psalm 37 and verse 9. He says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, Jesus says there that the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek are those who submit faithfully to God. The world has tried to change the term, the meaning of meek, meaning weak and cowardly. But that's not what that word means. It means a strength that comes because we submit to God and to His will. That's what Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 is talking about. Also, there is a peace of mind and heart that comes because we serve God. Turn back again to the book of Philippians. And I tell people sometimes, if you're really feeling down, if you're really feeling bad about the things of this life, you need to go over and read the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul there says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." God wants us to have peace of mind and heart. But it comes because we place our faith and trust in Him. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you." God will bless us, but we have to make that decision to commit our lives to Him every day we live. It's not a quick thing that's over in a minute, but it's an everyday of life thing that we have to do. God will bless us now. He will bless us eternally if we place our faith and our trust in Him. We go back again to the book of Psalms in chapter 37, all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 39. He says, "But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him." That's why He says, commit your ways, trust in the Lord, and be faithful. This morning, if you need to do more of that trusting in the Lord, and you have a need in your life to come, won't you come now as together while we sing the song that has been chosen.